This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
That's one of my favorite rejoin beats right there. That kick push comes in so majestic, so enchanting. Cam to 2 a.m., this is the last hour, man. And I know I talk sports, and too much sports. I wanted to sprinkle in some life stuff. So I'm going to spring training, bringing my wife, bringing my son. We'll leave on Monday. I'm going just for a couple days. Traveling with the baby is not fun. In November, I went to Mexico for a week, and it's like the littlest things will aggravate me. Not with my son. We get out of the, plane in Mexico, and you got to go through customs, and it's like everybody is just standing around. It's like you don't know which way to go, and then, I have a stroller, so I can't go through the, certain machine. I got to go through a certain area. Nobody tells us, so I wait in line to go through the machine, and then they're like, you can't go through, you got to go back around, and it's like it takes forever. Then when we get out, we have the car service set up to take us to the resort, and the guy that was driving my little minivan or whatever puts our suitcases into the van, locks the van, somehow loses the key to the van. We have to wait there for an extra 30 minutes until they go get the spare key for them. I'm telling you, I'm hot, but my wife and I are complete opposites, where I'll get hot and I'll start tearing stuff up, but I won't for her, because she'll be like, Keith, please don't. It's not that serious. We're on vacation. We got time. I'm like, no, we don't have time. So now we're going on a little spring training trip again, and we got to take the traveling car seat, and my son is bigger now, and there's just more toys and clothes and things. At least there's less bottles and stuff to take care of them. But what I'm about to do tomorrow, or now today, because it's Saturday, is a milestone thing. My son needs a little bit of a haircut. He needs his first trim. He needs a little bit of a haircut, and I don't really care about it, but it is a milestone thing. It is something that my wife has been anticipating, and I just know he's gonna fight, because he fights everything. He fights when I wash his hair in the bath. So I'm like, there's no way he's going to go for my barber washing his hair and us combing his hair and cutting his hair and trimming his hair. So it's going to be a full-on fight. He's an Aries. He's a natural-born fighter. And I don't know where he learned it. I didn't teach him the word fight. But whenever we try to do something, whether it's comb his hair or put his shirt on or put his shoes on, he tightens his body up and he goes, fight! And I'm like, bro, ain't nobody fighting you. I'm not fighting you. I'm your dad. I'm trying to get you dressed. I'm trying to get your hair together. I'm trying to wash your hands. Fight! And I'm like, you watch too much TV. So yeah, I'm ready for the first haircut fight in a few hours, in 12 hours. So wish me luck. 888-808-1019. I got plenty more sports stuff to talk. Let's go to Teddy in Yonkers before we do that. What's up, Teddy?
Hey, Keith. Keith, I know you might disagree with me on this, but I have a strong feeling about this portal with college sports, especially basketball and football, mainly basketball because I coached it and I played it, okay? I'm against it. It's not real. It's not authentic. The tournament meant something in the past, the NCAA, the 64 or 68 teams. I don't mind who wins, but it was authentic. They're on college scholarships, Keith. I know this NIL, okay. They're getting free education that would cost over near $100,000 for 4 years, okay? What they do with that education is up to them, okay? They shouldn't be getting paid, and they shouldn't be able to transfer without sitting out a year like they did before. And that's the way I feel.
Why?
The tournament, other people are saying the same thing to me. Coaches from the phys ed department, and I was a math teacher. It's not real. It's not authentic, man.
Well, it's even more real now. Go where you want to go and make money doing what you're doing because you're making money. You're part of a machine that's making money.
They're getting college scholarships.
They earn college scholarships. And the education that you're talking about, come on. I mean, I guess like some of these guys are going to stay for all 4 years and get that education. But most of these guys are trying to hoop, whether they're hooping in the NBA or the G League or overseas somewhere. They're basketball players you're specifically talking about, right?
Do they go to class, Keith? Are they doing the work? Come on, it's a joke. No, I'm against it. And my people that I speak to in the park, they understand where I'm coming from.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from, but it's already too far gone. It'll never go back. If anything, it's just going to get crazier. I understand the argument against it, you know, but it's done now, and they fought for it to get this way for years.
Well, okay. Keith, dealing with the Yankees. I hope Rondon can come through. I saw the interview with Carrasco tonight. It would be a pleasant surprise if he can come through. What's your opinion on the Yankees going forward?
Yeah, he has to come through. He gets paid $27 million a year, something like that. He has to come through. He has to perform. Pressure is a privilege, Carlos Rodon. You're the opening day starter. Do not fold. Be ready to go. Carlos Carrasco talked about everybody wants to be a Yankee. It's the end of his career. He might get an opportunity to make some starts. Be solid. Be decent. Like, you lose Garrett Cole, you lose a lot, but, like, there's still a lot of guys on this team with something to prove. I'm not writing them off. I want to see where this story goes.
Keith, now the latest on Stanton, he's got a calf injury, too. I'm not counting on him playing this year. What do you think?
Yeah, they gave us a Memorial Day weekend as an optimistic timeline. I'm like, even if it's a month after Memorial Day, great. Like, he's got a calf issue. What else he got? A hammy? A hangnail? Like, whatever, yo. Like, just let me know when he's ready to play.
Yeah. All right, Keith, I appreciate you talking to me. Thank you.
Of course. Thank you, Teddy. And I understand. Things have changed. We are all the way in the future, right? I'm talking to BT, and BT went to the bank, and they just put his debit card on his phone. So now here you go. You lost your wallet. You didn't bring your wallet. Well, here, you have an iPhone. You can tap to pay with Apple Pay. We are in the future. You're going to watch St. John's play? Well, yeah, quickly, St. John's is good and relevant. You know why? Because of a transfer portal and NIL money. It ain't the future grand. We couldn't have imagined this future. I couldn't. I'm someone that went to James Madison University out of high school, and then I transferred to Monmouth University. I had to sit out a year. It didn't help me. It didn't help. When you sit out a year and you can't play, you get distracted, you get into other things that are not football, you know you're not stepping on the field. It's not good. A lot of these kids that transfer, and there's so many reasons you transfer. You want to go back home. You want to get a better chance to start. You want to change your major. You might get in trouble at school and feel like, yo, I got to get out of here. Like, there's so many guys that transferred and had to sit out that year, and their college careers were affected. Missing a year of football at any level is tough. I wouldn't recommend it. A year of not playing. I mean, even I practice, but like a year of not being able to play in a game, like, and know you're not playing in a game, like, you're going to be distracted. It's going to lead you to do other things. You know you're not traveling with the team or whatever, and then, I mean, NIL, there's levels to NIL. Not all of these kids are millionaires. Some of these kids are just happy to be included in a little deal with a local car dealership where, you know, they might make $1,000, $5,000. At least it's available to them now. At least now advertisers can come in and work with the athletes and schools and put some money in these guys' pockets. I went to school with a lot of kids that, like, didn't come from money, didn't have a dollar, you know? They're waiting on their Pell Grant to come in and get, like, a piece of that to live off of. And, you know, NIL helps these kids send money also back to their parents who raised them and sacrificed and took care of them and spent money they didn't have so that they could go to practice, so they could go to camp, so that they could be these collegiate athletes. And we're talking about the education that they get. Education is singular. It's individual. Education is powerful, but not everybody locks in to get the education that they can get. So we can't just group everyone and say they're getting college scholarships. They're getting the opportunity to go to school and learn for what costs regular students $100,000. They're not regular students. They can dunk basketballs. They can shoot threes. They can tackle people. There's a difference. That ability to dunk basketballs, shoot threes, tackle people helps make the university a lot of money. The coaches get paid a lot of money. These kids can't get paid. It'll never go back. They'll regulate it. They'll change it some, but they'll never go back. You're allowed to transfer and not sit out because it's part of the NIL thing. Look at this Carson Beck dude. And you might see Carson Beck pop up. And word on the street now is Carson Beck cheated on his girlfriend that is also an influencer. You know, the Cavender twins. They're like not really good at basketball, but they're college basketball players and they've transferred to like TCU and Miami. They're really models. I guarantee you they end up in WWE when they get out of school and they run out of eligibility. But Carson Beck went from being a prospect in this draft. He was on Tankathon. He might have been the third quarterback taken in this draft coming out of Georgia. He gets hurt and the University of Miami offers him something like $5 million, maybe even up to $10 million, at least $5 million to transfer to Miami and take over for Cam Ward. Done. Transfers from UGA to Miami, and that's the transfer portal and NIL working in concert together. Mike, on Long Island, hey. You're on the Fan.
Hey, what's going on, Keith? I couldn't agree more with you. What the previous caller had said is a really old-world take. He's not taking into consideration. These kids aren't given scholarships. It's not like they're being handed something that they didn't earn. These guys have put in thousands of hours, played through injury, played through, you know, pain, given, sacrificed their bodies. And then they go to these colleges. Some of them move across the country. They're living on their own for the first time in their lives. The coach promises them the world, and then the coach has the autonomy to just up and leave for a better job.
Yep.
And the kids have to sit there and give up a year of eligibility, which would critically, adversely affect their draft capital and just affect their education. If he's concerned about their education, I mean, what kid is really going to focus on their studies when their first love is athletics at such a high level?
Don't I know it, man. Ewers said, we didn't go to school to play class. Like, we went to school to play football.
Exactly. So I just wanted to agree with you, and I just wanted to say that, yeah, okay, some regulation is definitely needed. I get it. But the premise of the NIL has made collegiate sports far more realistic. It's almost like an introductory course to free agency. And I'll hang up and just see what you think about it.
Yes, sir. You're right on. It's just where we are in this world now. There's so many kids making money off of streaming, right? I just look at these kids, these streamers, they're millionaires. And all they do is talk on camera for hours a day. But they have personalities and swag, and they've got, you know, following that they built from when they were teenagers to now they're in their 20s. And they've got, you know, deals with McDonald's and T-Mobile and whatever. They're able to strike those deals. Influencer marketing. Like, it's just where we are today. You get paid. Let these kids get paid. The NCAA was robbing a lot of kids. I wish there was back pay. I wish some of these athletes could get back pay. Because now it's available to these guys that are just, you know, born younger. But there's a, like Reggie Bush. I talked about Reggie Bush, I think, Saturday. I'm like, Reggie Bush lost his Heisman. Reggie Bush was everything to USC. Okay, they got his mom or dad a car or, like, paid a month of rent or something. Yeah, because they needed him to survive. They needed him to be healthy and safe and live well. Like, these athletes are basically contracted. That scholarship is not tuition and board. That scholarship is a contract offer. Come play for us. You know, when I was growing up in Ocean Township playing football, I knew it was my only way out. My mom told me when I was 12, I can't afford for you to go to college. Your brother just got out of school. My brother being 10 years older than me, rest in peace. You know, when he was 21, 22, and he had debt because he took out loans and had to pay for college that way, he wasn't an athlete. At 12, the seed was planted with me that, hey, you better figure out how to go to college. And I knew I had to go to college to make it out of my two-bedroom apartment in my situation. So what did I do at 12? I stopped playing everything. I played football, basketball, baseball. I ran track. I played AAU basketball. Like I locked in on the, you know, that sixth grade year. I think I scored like 35 touchdowns. So I'm like, I'm best at football. And some of the dads in my town told me, hey, if you lock in by the time you're a freshman, like you might be able to play varsity. I could have, and I didn't, but by my sophomore year, I played varsity. And by my junior year, I got my first offer from Hofstra University. And, you know, shout out to my mom. When I came home so excited to tell her, this coach from Hofstra came to the weight room. They offered me a scholarship. It's verbal, but, like, I can go to college. My mom, like, didn't really believe it, wasn't that impressed by it, and she was like, okay, get another one. All right, believe it when I see it, do more. And then I ended up getting, like, 10 different scholarships where I had options of where to go. Those were 10 different contract offers. Come play quarterback at our school. You're one of the best quarterbacks in the state. We end up winning the state championship. I worked. And like the last caller, Mike, just said, I can't tell you how many hours I rode my bike to the high school and ran those bleachers, ran sprints on that turf, snuck into that weight room. I remember Coach Conte calling this radio station because I talked about how I used to sneak into the weight room unattended, and Coach Conde used to be mad. Like, if you get hurt in here, that's a liability. I'm like, if I get hurt in here, I got to put on some weight. I'm a buck 55. I'm trying to go to college, bro. Like, you understand? I'm trying to make it. I'm trying to get out of here. And through the grace of God, I did. I mean, even being on this radio station, I transferred to Monmouth University, and I specifically picked radio and television as my focus. I knew I wasn't going to the NFL. And also, when I was at JMU, I was undeclared. I was just hanging out. You know, I was just partying and I was going to class, but like I was a student athlete partier and not in that order. Actually, the opposite order as a, you know, freshman, 18 years old, 6.5 hours away from home. And this is before cell phones could go live. This is before cell phones were 4K. I was just, you know, speaking in front of a high school telling these kids, like, when I went to college, it was wild. Some of the stuff that I remember now that we could never do. We could never get it off. But you'll do some different things when you can't be recorded. You'll do some different things when everything is just, you know, hearsay and a story. And man, I learned a lot about people. I learned a lot about myself. I grew up and I took a lot from college, not just my scholarship education. But ultimately, like, those were contracts. I learned the business. When I went to JMU, I realized, I'm like, man, this coach came to my house, recruited me, bought me food, treated me like a son. But then once I got on campus, it's all business, buddy. They treat you like a asset. They treat you like another number in the system. I started off the fifth string quarterback. I had to work my way up to third string. And even then, I wasn't anything. Even then, I was like, I don't mean anything here. And it sucks. You got to get up in the morning and run. You got to go to lifting. You got to be at class, and they're checking on class. You got to be at study hall, and they're checking on study hall. They're telling you when to sleep, where to eat, where to be. So I think we have the wrong image of these athletes. I think we have a wrong image of these guys. These guys are finally now getting paid for almost the, like, athletic academic prison they're in. 888-808-1019, and it's not a prison, but you understand what I'm saying? Like, you go to school, and you're owned by that coach and that system. You're owned by that program. And not everybody's going pro. Not everybody is going to be famous. But, you know, they're all working it. And I don't mind it at all. I only thing I mind is that I'm old. I wish I was, you know, 15 years younger. I wish I was 20 years younger coming up. My son, I hope my son is athletic like I was. Because he's going to have me. I didn't have pops around to tell me what to do or guide me. You know, I just was posting on my Instagram. There's a guy that did a study, and he said he studied, you know, and looked up 50 Super Bowl winning quarterbacks. And it blew my mind. He said all those quarterbacks that he looked up and looked up their background, he said they all had a two-parent household or a father in their life. They had structure. They had the balance of mom and dad. And there's something to be said about quarterbacks specifically growing up with that structure, growing up with that dynamic. And then Deion Sanders, to bring it right back to the conversation, stay with me. Deion Sanders had a clip that I put on my Instagram where he was talking about how they go about recruiting players. Defensive lineman, he says he wants trench babies. He wants them to get it out the mud, got to save mama, single-parent household, grew up with nothing. You know, he wants those guys to be the ones on his defensive line. Quarterback, nope. Two-parent household, stability, raised a certain way, balance. And he broke it down so eloquently. I'm like, wow, I never knew. I never knew. There's so much that goes on with the recruiting. There's so much that goes on. Like, I was talking to BT about, like, as much as we want to say these kids are professional athletes, they're not professional athletes. That's why, like, KD doesn't care that they're chanting MVP or, you know, at the free throw line or KD, KD. But, like, Zuby Ejiofor is like, yo, like, I couldn't control myself. They're chanting Zoo. Like, he's a kid playing in the garden, living the dream. That money doesn't come with you everywhere. And money is great, but, like, there's things bigger than that. There's things that money can't buy. So these kids I'm super proud of and happy for, and I'm definitely jealous too because they're in college and some of them will not go pro and make the millions in the pro world, but they'll have a good start in life. They won't have to struggle so much. They won't have to hustle so much. They won't have to drive 700 Lyft Uber rides like I did. You know, they won't have to apply to 200 jobs like I did and go on interviews to be let down and, you know, not hear back and do odd jobs and go on Facebook Marketplace and Craigslist and sell your belongings and, you know, do risky, sketchy things to make money and make ends meet. They'll, you know, they'll be set up with a little bit of a bank account and maybe they can invest. Maybe they can start a business off of playing just a couple years of college football or basketball. I think it's a good thing. 888-808-1019. We can, you know, we're not going back. We can criticize it. We can say it's this, that, or whatever. They went to court over it. They fought over it for a long time. And if these coaches are making millions of dollars, how are their players not getting a cut of that? I got a ton of stories where I was just like, it didn't make sense. It did not make sense. I'm at school with kids that come from the inner city of Baltimore and Richmond when I'm down there in Virginia. And they're telling me stories about, you know, the hoods that they grew up in. And, you know, I'm sending this money back home to mama. I'm like, that's crazy. Like, you're getting your financial aid and that check that you're getting that you could pocket or whatever, even like some of the money for books and stuff. Oh, I'm not buying books. I'm sending this money back to my mom. Why? She's got to take care of my little brother and sister. Like, some of these players are getting life-changing money, not just for themselves, but for their families. They're the ones that made it. It's amazing, actually. And it's long overdue because there's a lot of players that came out of poverty and bad situations that made a ton of money for the universities and weren't able to send any money back. And then even when they were making money, it was illegal. They had to do it under the table and make sure they didn't get caught, make sure that, you know, they didn't put the university in jeopardy where the university's getting investigated. Now you don't have to do any of that. Now it's still the Wild Wild West, some, but so what? I'd rather Wild Wild West than what it was. 888-808-1019. I can't wait for the tournament. I can watch the tournament and not think about these kids making money at all. It's not real? No, it is real. Well, like, okay, because these guys aren't four-year students. Some of them are. Some of these schools, you're going to see kids that are 4 years. Like, we watched the kids from St. Peter's University in Jersey City. Those kids weren't making money, NIL, big time. Like, but they could hoop and they could scrap and play together and make some noise. You know, that's what's great about this NCAA tournament. You get the mix of the blue bloods and the big schools with some of the smaller mid-major schools and some of the schools, they're not making that much money. They don't have an NIL collective. They don't have millionaires or billionaires that came from the school that are putting money in. They might have some small companies that are doing some stuff. There's a good documentary on Amazon Prime with LSU, and it's got Jaden Daniels, it's got Livy Dunn, I think Angel Reese, or I forget the other girl that is like a hooper rapper with, you know, Angel Reese, and I think she's still there, and they have a whole department now. That's another thing. Like, these are jobs for people. There's a whole department of, you know, people that are handling the business. These kids aren't, they're not going direct to these kids to put money in these kids' pockets. There's somebody handling that for them. There's somebody that is, you know, looking out for some of that. There's somebody that's, you know, doing the business, doing the deals. There's agents involved. There's somebody at the school that's looking out for everybody's best interest to make it get done right. So 888-808-1019. I think we're going to break here. When we come back, there are a couple things I wanted to talk about in Major League Baseball, the Tokyo series coming up, couple little things that I read, just kind of some baseball news stories that I'd like to plant some seeds with to close the show that I didn't get to earlier. But still wide open, open mic for you if you want to call in and get something off your chest, or if there's a sports topic or subject that we haven't hit on that you want to get my opinion on. This is Keith McPherson on The Fan. Call me up. We'll be back right after this. Okay. Dial 888-808-1019 if you'd like to talk to me in the next 20 minutes before we get out of here. I'm going to just add the last few things I had in my notes that I haven't mentioned yet. Keith McPherson on The Fan. Coming up next is Hoff, Pete Hoffman. You might know him from BTN Sal. You might know him from the Rico Bronya. You might know him just from his Friday night show. Coming up in the next half hour. But while I have this time, I had to look at some things in Major League Baseball. And there was a graph put out by Brooksgate. And the title reads, here is how much money each team has spent in free agency the last two off seasons. Obviously, number one is the Dodgers at $1.46 billion. And then the Mets at $1.02 billion. The Giants, the San Francisco Giants at $492 million. The Diamondbacks at $372 million. And then you get to number five, the New York Yankees at $278 million. But, you know, the top teams, there's a decent gap, right? You know, the drop-off between the Diamondbacks numbers and the Yankees numbers are almost $100 million. And then the drop-off from the Yankees to the Phillies is like $70 million. But when you go to the bottom at 30, the Marlins have spent $5 million in the last 2 years. Understandable. No one's down there. They're not really making any money. But the Twins, the Minnesota Twins have spent $8 million. And now, I don't know if these are accurate or right. Brooksgate is usually pretty credible. But it made me think about where we're heading. You know, I did have another clip that popped up from Chatterbox Sports that said, MLB owners are taking a hard look at pushing for a salary cap in 2026. MLB owners are deeply engaged in discussions about implementing a salary cap, with most owners in favor. Some are even prepared to support a work stoppage in 2027 to push the cap through. I think we're headed for a lockout, especially with what the Dodgers do. And, like, a salary cap? We need a salary floor. Like, you shouldn't be able to spend $5 million in 2 years. Meanwhile, the Dodgers are spending $1.46 billion. That doesn't make any damn sense. But speaking of the Dodgers, are you ready for baseball? Because we're here now. Coming up this week, after we get through this weekend, March 18th and 19th, Tuesday and Wednesday, the Tokyo series is upon us. Ooh, got to wake up early for that. Remember, you know, the Seoul series last year? Seoul series, you're watching the Seoul series and Ipe and Shohei, they were, you know, yucking it up in the dugout. Didn't seem like anything was wrong. And the next thing you know, hey, hold on, this guy is a criminal. He's stealing money from Shohei. Anyway, we will see at 6:10 a.m. Eastern on FS1 the first game on March 18th, and then same time, 6:10 a.m. Eastern on March 19th. FS1, I'm trying to think. I'm like, I'll be at spring training, but my son usually gets up by like 7 o'clock, so I won't be getting up at 6 to watch, but I'll catch a couple innings. I don't really care to watch the Cubs versus the Dodgers. But the Dodgers, the most interesting thing about this, and I mentioned this the other night, but I didn't get too in the weeds on it. I've talked to you a bunch about the Guggenheim baseball partners, the Guggenheim ownership group. The MLB World Tour Tokyo Series is presented by Guggenheim. They're literally the sponsor. They're literally tagged in tweets by MLB. Guggenheim Partners on Twitter has 25, I have more followers than Guggenheim Partners. Almost double. They have 24,000 followers on Twitter. A global investment and advisory firm with a track record of delivering results through innovative solutions. I told you how they've got this whole thing figured out. You guys are worried about NIL. We should be more worried about deferrals and the private equity funds and all these things that the Guggenheim partners are able to do with investing this money, deferring this money, putting this money in their banks, and just being able to stack a ridiculous baseball team that nobody else can stack because nobody else can get all of these guys to sign and kick the money down the road 10 years. 888-808-1019. I just thought it was very interesting that, like, oh, people are like, oh, the, you know, Major League Baseball's got to have an issue with this. No, they don't. They're partnering with them. Guggenheim's, you know, buying a ad space on the Tokyo Series, and they're going out to Tokyo with Shohei Ohtani. And of course, the pitching matchup lines up like this. Game one Tuesday, you'll see Yoshinobu Yamamoto, the phenom that came over last year. We thought he might be a Met. He went to Steve Cohen's estate after Steve Cohen went to Tokyo and took him to a French cuisine, him and all of his family members. We thought he might be a Yankee. Brian Cashman saw his Yamanono. He threw a no-hitter in front of Brian Cashman in Japan, and we thought he might want to be the next Masahiro Tanaka. No, he was always going to be a Dodger. This game was on the calendar for a couple years. He was always going to be a Dodger, and we should have known the same about Roky Sasaki. Roky Sasaki, oh, maybe he'll be a Padre. He's quiet. He doesn't like teammates with verbose personalities, and he doesn't want to be in a big media market. Okay, yeah, he goes to the Dodgers. So Roky Sasaki will face Justin Steele in game two. It will be Cubs versus Dodgers out there in the Tokyo Series. Let me take a call before this guy decides he's going to hang up. Mike is in Queens. Thanks for holding, Mike. You got it.
Hey, Kate. Thanks for taking my call. I kind of disagree with you, and I, like you, have a kind of a unique perspective. I grew up in Flushing, Queens, here in New York, and I played soccer at St. John's in the early 90s. And, I came from a poor family, Irish immigrants. No education, two younger brothers, and I was the oldest. And, you know, I'm in eighth, ninth grade, and we're looking at how are we paying for college, and soccer for me was the way to do it. And that's kind of the point. You know, for us back in those days, the key emphasis was on the education. You know, we looked at it as if you can come out of college, a school like St. John's with like an accounting degree, marketing. I got an advertising degree, and I actually just recently retired at 50 years old. If you could come out with no debt, you were a winner. You won. You had the head start against the average kid coming out of college with $50,000, $60,000 in debt. So I just think NIL takes the emphasis away because 99% of these kids, as you know, they're never going to make it in the pros. They're going to have to use their degree to get a job.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing, too. At least they'll have some money because the job market is tough. It's not a guarantee now that you come out a winner because, you were on scholarship and you got a degree. You can get that degree and not find a job. You can get that degree and nobody is checking for you. Nobody is looking at your resume. Like, that degree, you can end up doing something completely different. And if you have some money, maybe that can help you get started in your passion project or what business you want to be in.
Yeah, no, you make a good point. And obviously, you know, times are different.
It's just a change of times.
Yeah, like, it's when you come out.
No, and I understand you. Well, and congratulations to you, Mike. Like, you should be very proud. I mean, you just said you retired at 50, and the dream started with you being a soccer player, knowing you could go to school and get a job, and you did it. Congratulations.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. Thanks. Have a good night, man.
Thanks for the call. 888-808-1019. Like, stories like that is the American dream, literally. I know mine is an American dream, right? They tell you, go to school. They tell you, like, I just saw, who is it? Anthony Mackie. Anthony Mackie is the actor who is playing Captain America in the new Captain America movie. And he just did the Pivot podcast where I played that clip about Russell Wilson where Michael Porter Jr. was speaking. And he talked about how, you know, he's telling his kids, it isn't like the American dream isn't anymore about go to school, get your grades, go to college, do all the right things, and you'll be successful. He's telling his kids, like, to be successful, you got to be picked. Somebody has to pick you. Somebody has to help you. I know I used to tell people all the time, like, it's not what you know, it's who you know. It's better yet, who knows you and who's willing to pick you? Who's willing to stick their neck out for you? Who's willing to co-sign you? Who's willing to stick your resume on top of others? If you don't have that built into your family, if you don't have that nepotism, if you don't have those connections, like, you can go to school all you want. You can go and graduate and get a degree. Like, does not guarantee you anything. You're not a lock. You're not a lock. So now these athletes, and some of them don't want to go to class, and some of them are not going there to play school. At least they have some bread to figure out something else, right? They can go buy ten vending machines and turn that into a business. They could go buy a laundromat or something with the money they have, and maybe they do that. And that's fine. In the past, there are guys that went to school on scholarship and didn't make any money. They graduate with that degree and they can't use it. They're not able to use it. I think it's better to put money in these student athletes' hands. I think it gives them more options. And I don't think it takes the emphasis away from school and education. If you want to go to school and do both, you will. The student athletes that are there to learn and go to class and compete, they do. The guys that are there for just the money and the athletics, that's them. And that's your prerogative. Again, education is singular. It's individual. It's what you want to do. If you don't want to go and study and you don't have an idea of what you want to be and do outside of sports, like, that's your own issue or non-issue. John is in Belmar, New Jersey, next on The Fan. What's up, John?
What's up, Keith? How you doing?
Good, man. Thank you for checking in.
Good. Hey, listen, I was listening to you, and I think your energy is, like, a little misguided at Guggenheim and the Dodgers.
Okay.
Because first, like, they're not the originators of the deferrals. The originators of the deferrals are the Nationals. Like, if you go look, Max Scherzer's still getting paid from the Nationals.
Yeah.
He hasn't paid points for them, like, 5 years. But honestly, like, you're a Yankee fan. I'm a Yankee fan. I think part of the problem is there's a lot of lack of creativity in Major League Baseball. And the Dodgers have built up this team where they get all these guys who agree to these deferred contracts. So it's just, again, like, a lack of structure in MLB. And people are flexing their muscles, but here you got Hal, who's, like, pounding the table for a salary cap and the Cohen tax and all those things, and he's not putting the money back in the team. I mean, the guy got $27 million for Cole being down for the year. He's probably going to collect another $20 million on Stanton's insurance money. And
the Rays are going to pay, like, $15 million for using George M. Steinbrenner Field. Go on.
Yeah, and I mean, the Yankees set a record with suites last year and tickets and everything else.
$411 million. Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And fine, you don't want to pay, you couldn't get to the Cohen level to pay Soto. Fine. But, like, the Yankees offseason should have looked way better than Max Fried, Cody Bellinger, and Paul Goldschmidt. Like, it's not even acceptable that Paul Goldschmidt is the answer for the Yankees at first base and the Yankees don't have an answer at third base. Like, they don't even know who's going to be playing there all year.
Cabrera.
It's just constant. It's, yeah, but he's not good. Like, he's not good enough.
He's going to have to be.
But he's not. We've all seen it. And that's the biggest problem with the Yankees. They have two big problems. One, Cashman and asset allocation is a problem. And the other problem is the owner doesn't actually care about winning. He just wants to get to the wild card round and win a World Series by accident. So that's my take. But appreciate you, man. A Monmouth County guy to a Monmouth County guy. Shout out to you, man.
Thanks for the call, John. I disagree with that. I think Hal wants to win his own World Series. And, you know, I always have the image in my head of Cleveland and the ALCS and what Hal and Cashman and Stanton and Judge and the team looked like, knowing they did it. They were going back to the World Series. They didn't finish the job all the way, but they got back to the World Series. And you could see on their faces how elated they were, because that's the mission. That's what they sell. You know, I was going through this article last night while I was on in The Athletic about how the Dodgers are the new evil empire and not the Yankees. And you know what it is? The Dodgers are always in it. They're in the NLCS. They're in the World Series. They've got beautiful weather out there. They've got a ballpark that's historic but also renovated. They have a stacked team. Why wouldn't you want to play with the Dodgers? Why wouldn't you want a chance to win the World Series? And, you know, the deferred money stuff, yeah, they didn't create it, but what they did was create the first team with, like, I don't know, 15 guys with deferred contracts. And the Yankees are not doing that. The Yankees aren't trying to do that. You know, it's funny, the whole thing about the evil empire, there's all these little things in there, like, like, did you know that the Yankees play the Darth Vader Death Star alarm in the stadium anytime a Yankee pitcher gets two strikes on a hitter? I call it the two strikes well. But it's like, that is a theme playing off of the evil empire. Remember when general manager Brian Cashman described his deep star-studded roster as a fully operational Death Star during the 2018 winter meetings? Yeah. Yeah. That was 6 years ago. It says, back in 2013, a company started selling Evil Empire t-shirts and merchandise, and the Yankees unleashed their attorneys to put a stop to it. Unauthorized profiteering. It's interesting, this article. It goes on to talk about the Dodgers and Guggenheim. The case for the Dodgers, they have money, lots and lots of money. They'll definitely spend it, and that's been the modus operandi of Dodgers since their purchase of Mark Walter's Guggenheim Partners in 2012. Under Guggenheim, the Dodgers haven't had an opening day payroll under $200 million. And in 2014, they passed the Yankees in payroll standings for the first time in the 21st century. Since then, the Dodgers' payrolls have been more than the Yankees. In the last decade, 2014 to 2024, $2.64 billion. The Yankees, $2.42 billion. Also, of the 10 full seasons in that span, which team had the higher payroll? Out of 10 years, the Dodgers had a higher payroll in 8. Yankees, 2. So who's the true fully operational Death Star? It seems obvious. The case for the Yankees is that they did have a higher payroll than LA as recently as last year and the year before. But yeah, it goes on to just say a bunch of different things that I don't know. It's the Yankees are not the evil empire. The Dodgers are the current champions. The Dodgers spent the most last offseason into the season that they won the championship, and then they doubled down. They pushed their chips in again. They spent the most money again. They reloaded. They restacked the team again. They have too many guys, right? They signed Ha-Sung Kim out of Korea, right? And they had to defer him. They had to designate him for assignment. They didn't have room for him. You know, they have way too many pitchers, right? They're gonna option guys. Like, they traded off Gavin Lux. They traded off somebody else. They have so many players they don't have room for. Stack the deck, right? You want to win again. You want to be the first team to go back-to-back since the Yankees were the evil empire. Well, you need depth. You need depth and depth. And as much as I love the Yankees, I was saying it the other night, they never go all the way in as far as stacking the deck. They'll always have a hole. Yeah, Jay Bruce is going to play first base. We'll be good. Oh, yeah, we'll just move Gleyber Torres to shortstop. We're not bringing Didi Gregorius back. Gleyber can play short, and we'll put DJ at second. And I don't know, we'll go on a journey with whoever at third base. Rougned Odor. We'll sign Rougned Odor off the scrap heap. Oh, Aaron Hicks is healthy. He had a good offseason. We're going to put him in left field. Oh, IKF is your shortstop. What? Josh Donaldson's going to play third base. He's completely cooked. He's just going to try and pimp anything he gets in the air. But yeah, that'll get it done. Oh, no, IKF isn't shortstop now, but we can play him in the outfield. He can play center field. I know when we acquired him, he was a third baseman, but he'll play left field too. And we'll run guys out there like Jake Bowers and Billy McKinney and Greg Allen and oh, yeah, Ben Rortvedt will be the backup catcher. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can go through all these different names of these Yankees players. We're like, where the hell did these guys come from? And why did the Yankees think that that was okay? Why did the Yankees think that these rosters were going to get it done? And here we are again. Who is your DH? Stanton is hurt. You just heard John call and say at third base, Cabrera's not good enough. Well, he's going to have to be. They could have went out and got Nolan Arenado. They couldn't figure out the trade terms. Left field. Dominguez is going to have to be a MLB caliber left fielder. That's just how it shakes out. It is what it is. Your rotation. Cole's down. Heel's down. You couldn't trade Marcus Stroman. Marcus Stroman's going to get innings. Don't let him get 140 and then that contract vest. Now you got to really rely on Carlos Rodon, which, like, you go get Max Fried, another left-handed pitcher, a left-handed ace, to push him back. So you don't have to. No, you got to rely on him. Opening day, here's the ball. Will Warren, who picked up some starts for you last year, like, he's going to be depended on. Carlos Carrasco, who, when we signed him, we kind of laughed, like, oh, he might not even make the team. Yeah, he'll be around. He'll be around. Last call goes to Popcorn Rob in Babylon. What's up, man? You got it.
Hey, what's up, man? Keith, first and foremost, thanks for taking my call. And what I'm going to say is real quick. The call for, because really, the Yankees were not actually being like this dynasty that they called the evil empire. Because the call for was consisted of Mariano Rivera, Derek Jeter, Andy Pettit, and who was the last one? I forget which one. Bernie Williams, because I thought he might have been there. Jorge Posada, right? Yeah, because Jorge Posada, because you got to realize, they were talking about the one who came from the farm. That's what the core four was. The core four was not the people who they got through free agency. It was the ones who came through the system. So when we're saying that to say this, is that that's when the Yankees became somewhat of a, threat. Free agency. But at the end of the day, Keith, what they were doing was they were, instead of going and chasing all these guys that were free agencies, they were going and they were getting the people out of their farm system. One. And then I'm going to say this, Keith, so I can end the call. Aaron Rodgers, forget about it, bro. The guy is out there. And like I said, he's direct traffic when he makes mistakes and he blames it on the receivers.
Yep.
I mean, he was a great quarterback. And the thing is you're showing these guys up. You never take personal responsibility. The only time you do that is when we know that you made that mistake, that you threw that into. But if it's ever a time where he has to take personal responsibility, he never does it. He always wants to point fingers.
Thanks for the call, Popcorn Rob. Yeah. The core four, core five. And Aaron Rodgers, right, I remember that, looking at Yeboah like, hey, man, get upfield on. Hit him, he's wide open. Yeah, I think Hal Steinbrenner is attempting to have a core of young players like Volpe, Wells, Dominguez, Heel, Ben Rice, Will Warren, and then add the cherries on top. And maybe they'll get back to the evil empire that way. I don't know, though. Game has changed. We're in the future now. The Mets have the richest owner in the sport. The Dodgers have the Guggenheim partners, like, I don't know, you could get beat by the Orioles. You could beat by the Red Sox. We'll see. Baseball's coming up soon. I'll be off all next week. I'm going to Tampa. So I'll catch you guys the week after. Thanks for listening. Hoff's next.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN, New York.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.